So before spring break, I was reading to the class a story called The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane. It's one of my favorite children's books ever written. It's written by Kate DiCamillo, who also has written The Tale of Despero and lots of kids, Mercy Watts and lots of kids' books. So I'm going to give you a quick recap. Actually, why don't you give your family a quick recap if you're listening to all of this together by pausing this right now and saying, what happened so far in the story? If you're listening by yourself, pause it still and think in your head what happened so far. Okay, I'll give you a quick recap in case you forgot, because it has been quite some time. So in chapter one, we met Edward, who was a China rabbit. We were debating whether he was actually alive or not, but because he can't move his body, but he does have thoughts. So we think he's alive, but he's kind of just trapped inside of his body. He's a rabbit who thinks a lot of himself. He thinks he's the best thing ever invented, and he thinks he's much better than other people. And in fact, he doesn't really have any room for people in his life. He doesn't really care what they think, what they feel, and he doesn't at all love them. We also met Abilene, who's the young girl who's going to be his owner. And her grandmother, whose name was Pellegrina, actually had Edward made for Abilene. The story started at their home on Egypt Street, and Edward got into some interesting kerfuffles there. For instance, once the neighbor's dog, named Rosie, somehow got into the house and took Edward around in his jaws. Edward thought nothing good of that. And he was also vacuumed by the maid, with his long ears going up the vacuum cleaner hose. Soon the family found out they would be boarding the Queen Mary II, an old cruise ship, to go across the Atlantic Ocean. Abilene was worried until she found out Edward could come along the journey as well, but on that journey, something interesting had happened to Edward. He was grabbed by two boys on board who started to play catch with him, and soon he found he was sailing through the air, overboard the ship, and landed in the ocean, and went deep, deep, deep down to the bottom of the ocean. Because he could not breathe, he did not die. He just sat at that bottom of the ocean, waiting and waiting, quite bored, and until eventually a big storm lifted him up higher, and then eventually, when the storm had calmed down, he found himself caught in a fisherman's net. That fisherman knew instantly that Edward would make his wife, Nellie, very, very happy. So he brought Edward home, and there, when Nellie picked Edward up, Nellie said, "What will I call her?" And the old fisherman said, "Susanna?" And Nellie said, "Just right." And she looked deep into Edward's eyes. First off, she said, "Susanna will need some clothes, won't she?" Nellie and Lawrence began to treat Edward, who is now known as Susanna, as their own child. And this started to bother their daughter, Lolly, who saw them going around town with Edward on their shoulder and was worried that people would start to think bad things about her parents. So Lolly took Edward and threw him in the dump. Then Edward spent many days at the dump until he was rescued by a furry creature. But it was here at the dump, when Edward had spent almost 40 days and 40 nights, when he realized why Abilene's grandmother had said to him, "You disappoint me." He knew it was because he had not loved Abilene enough, and now that she was gone from him, he had no way to be able to make it right. Now he is missing Abilene, and he was missing Nellie and Lawrence. This is where we'll continue on for next chapter, chapter 12 of our story. Edward did not have much time to savor the light, for the dog suddenly appeared above him, dark and shaggy, blocking his view. Edward was pulled out of the garbage by his ears, dropped, and then picked up again, this time around the middle, and shaken back and forth with a great deal of ferocity. The little dog growled deep in its throat and then dropped Edward and looked at him in the eye. Edward stared back. "Hey, get out of here, you dog!" It was Ernest, king of garbages and therefore king of the world. The dog grabbed Edward by his pink dress and took off running. "That's mine! That's mine! All garbage is mine!" Ernest shouted. "You come back here!" But the little dog did not stop. The sun was shining and Edward felt exhilarated. Who, having known him before, would have thought he could be so happy now, crusted over with garbage, wearing a dress, held in the slobbery mouth of a dog, and being chased by a madman? But he was happy. The dog ran and ran until they reached a railroad track. They crossed over the tracks, and there, underneath a scraggly tree, in a circle of bushes, Edward was dropped in front of a large pair of feet. The dog began to bark. Edward looked up and saw that the feet were attached to an enormous man with a long, dark beard. "What's this, Lucy?" said the man. He bent and picked up Edward. He held him firmly around the middle. "Lucy," said the man, "I know how much you enjoy rabbit pie." Lucy barked. "Yes, yes, I know. Rabbit pie is a true delight, one of the pleasures of our existence." Lucy yet let out a hopeful yip. "And what have we here? What have you so graciously delivered to me?" "It's definitely a rabbit, but the best chef in the world would be hard-pressed to make him into a pie." Lucy growled. "This rabbit is made of china, girl." The man held Edward closer to him. They looked at each other in the eye. "You're made of china, aren't you, Malone?" He gave Edward a playful shake. "You're some child's toy, am I right? And you've been separated somehow from the child who loves you." Edward felt again the sharp pain in his chest. He thought of Abilene. He saw the path leading up to the house on Egypt Street. He saw the dusk descending and Abilene running toward him. Yes, Abilene had loved him. "So, Malone," said the man. He cleared his throat. "You are lost. That is my guess. Lucy and I are lost, too." At the sound of her name, Lucy let out another yip. "Perhaps," said the man, "you would like to be lost with us. I have found it much more agreeable to be lost in the company of others. My name is Bull. Lucy, as you may have surmised, is my dog. Would you care to join us?" Bull waited for a moment, staring at Edward. And then, with his hands still firmly around Edward's waist, the man reached one enormous finger up and touched Edward's head from behind. He pushed it so it looked as if Edward were nodding his head in agreement. "Look, Lucy, he's saying yes," said Bull. "Malone has agreed to travel with us. Isn't that swell?" Lucy danced around Bull's feet, wagging her tail and barking. And so it was that Edward took to the road with a man and his dog who both had no home. And that's the end of chapter 12, where Edward now is known as Malone and has new travel companions. Would you like me to keep reading? Okay, I'll read one more chapter today. Chapter 13. They traveled on foot. They traveled in empty rail cars. They were always on the move. "But in truth," said Bull, "we are going nowhere." "That, my friend, is the irony of constant movement." Edward rode in Bull's bedroll, slung over Bull's shoulder with only his head and ears sticking out. Bull was always careful to position the rabbit so that he was not looking down or up, but was instead forever looking behind him at the road they had just traveled. At night they slept on the ground, under the stars. Lucy, after her initial disappointment about Edward being unfit for consumption, took a liking to him and slept curled up beside him. Sometimes she even rested her muzzle on his china stomach. And then the noises she made in her sleep, whimpering and growling and chuffing, resonated inside Edward's body. To his surprise, he began to feel a deep tenderness for the dog. During the night, while Bull and Lucy slept, Edward, with his ever-open eyes, stared up at the constellations. He said their names, and he said the names of the people who loved him. He started with Abilene, and went to Nellie, and Lawrence, and from there to Bull and Lucy. And then again he ended with Abilene. Abilene, Nellie, Lawrence, Bull, Lucy, Abilene. See, Edward told Pellegrina, I am not like the princess. I know about love. There were times, too, when Bull and Lucy gathered around a campfire with other people. Bull was such a good storyteller and an even better singer. Sing for us, Bull, the men shouted. Bull sat with Lucy leaning against his leg and Edward balanced on his right knee, and he sang from somewhere deep inside himself. Just as Edward could feel Lucy's whimpers and growls resonate through his body at night, he could also feel the deep, sad sounds of Bull's songs move through him. Edward loved it when Bull sang. And he was grateful, too, to Bull, for sensing that a dress was not the right kind of clothing for Edward. Malone, said Bull one night, it's not my desire to offend you or to comment negatively on your choice of garb, but I'm forced to tell you that you stick out like a sore thumb in that princess dress. And also, again, no wish to offend you, that dress has seen better days. Nellie's beautiful dress had not fared well at the dump, or in its subsequent ramblings with Bull and Lucy. It was so torn and dirty and full of holes that it barely resembled a dress anymore. I have a solution, said Bull, and I hope that it meets with your approval. He took his own knit stocking cap and cut a big hole in the top of it and two small holes on the side of it. And then he took off Edward's dress. Look away, Lucy, he said to the dog. Let's not embarrass Malone by staring at his nakedness. Bull slid the hat over Edward's head and pulled it down and poked his arms through the smaller holes. There you go, he said to Edward. Now you just need some pants. The pants Bull made himself, cutting up several red handkerchiefs and sewing them together so that they formed a makeshift covering for Edward's long legs. Now you have the proper outlaw look, said Bull, standing back to admire his work. Now you look like a rabbit on the run. All right, that's the end of chapter 13. I hope you enjoyed the story for today. If you didn't already have your drawing book, next time you can grab your drawing book and draw along as I read to you. And I'll send another file out in a few days with a couple more chapters on there. Bye for now, everyone.